Welcome to Daytime Confidential CBS Podcast. My name is Lisa.
And my name is Mike. And today we'll be discussing Dusty and Allison sleeping together as Aaron makes a return to Oakdale. And on Guiding Light, we'll talk about Lizzie's kidnapping at the hands of Reba.
I'm sorry. I'm dying.
I'm trying to read it, but you guys are.
This is bold and the beautiful.
You and Tina are like.
Oh my gosh.
You're as dry as toast.
You're supposed to be like this in regular. In regular life, you guys are awesome, but
this week's podcast will have Lizzie on it.
You know what? Mike.
I'm going to replay your first podcast, and we'll see how good you sound.
Hey, bite me.
Okay, let's try something else here.
I'll be right. I'm ready. Go ahead.
Podcast. My name is Lisa.
My name is Mike, and today we'll be discussing As the World Turns, Dusty and Allison hitting the sheets just as Aaron comes home. And as we talk about Guiding Light, we'll talk about Reva and Lizzie being kidnapped.
Not to mention, Bold and the Beautiful has Rick's emotional demise, Young and the Restless, deaths and unions. I'm Luke, and stay tuned. Didn't turn out half bad. A little bit of work. A few more episodes. We'll get it down.
Poor Mike.
Yeah, poor Mike, yeah.
Well, we just rag on him so hard.
That's what happens when you work with novices. That's
oh
how it goes.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, I'm
actually,
not a novice.
I have to tell you.
I'm not a novice.
No, that's what I'm talking about with Mike.
What'd you say, Mike?
You said that because I didn't think we were going to be doing these this week. Because you said... last week with the Emmy podcast, you were just going to skip
over. That's what I thought. See, thank you. Luke swore, but now I didn't say that. And
no.
He didn't either.
I had said that.
Aha.
But when there was a mix-up on times. Anyways, completely off the topic. Let's get back on point.
Mike. Thank you.
The big news, for once. You ready?
For once?
Yes. For once on Bold and the Beautiful, something was good.
We
had Rick coming to terms or not coming to terms, depending on how you want to look at it, with
He's
the fact that he shot someone and killed someone, and it's been the best thing since Stephanie pretty much strangled Brooke.
Yeah, strangling Brooke is always fun. I really enjoyed it, and I've really enjoyed, I can't remember the actor's name, who plays Rick. I've really enjoyed his performance.
Kyle. Isn't it Kyle?
Louder.
Yeah.
That's it. Thank you very much, Mike. And I don't enjoy him on a whole. He's not my favorite actor in the world, but he's really doing well. And he's still in denial. Rick's in denial about shooting Grant all those years ago. And what a way to pick up a dropped storyline from 10 years ago.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's what we want them to do on General Hospital by having his... Jason's dealing with the fact that he has... amnesia. I mean, mm-hmm. We've wanted that for years, and it hasn't happened.
What do you think, Mike? I'm Bold and the Beautiful this week.
Actually, that's probably the only thing that I've actually liked as well. I like the fact that they have used the past to tie it to the present, and it's actually been interesting to watch it all unfold. But mm-hmm. I can't figure out how Ridge is going to get out of doing time for anything. You know what I mean?
Well, apparently it's because since he didn't shoot the person in the first place, mm-hmm. he it's double jeopardy on that one. He can't be mm-hmm. convicted of the crime he didn't commit. And so that way he wouldn't have a strike.
But Rick could.
But Rick was a minor. So
because of the probation thing will be gone. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, basically. Ridge's probation.
Like time served?
Well, basically.
Time served.
Basically, what would happen is, since he didn't kill someone before, since it's, what is it, California has a three-strike policy?
have no idea.
And I think that's the reason. I think that's the reason why he's in jail now is because it's like his third strike or whatever. His second strike would have been supposedly.
So the first two murderers are free. Is that right?
But it's not any murder. It can be any crime. I mean, California has it where it's like three whatevers. I mean, it's not necessarily a murder. It's not necessarily a murder that gets you in that place. So.
Well, did you like the scene of Rick holding the gun?
Yeah, that was really good.
Very riveting. Very well directed, too. What'd you think, Mike?
Yeah, I liked it, too. I thought it was pretty good. It was a little tense, because I didn't know if he was going to crack or all of a sudden have some kind of memory flash or whatever.
And Hunter Tyler
I liked it.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I like when he was talking to his mother, mm-hmm. and he still didn't believe what was going on, but she told him, you know, I wouldn't say something like this unless it was true. So you have to understand that it's true. And he just still wasn't getting it.
And
yeah, because he has no memory at all of it. Not, mm-hmm. He's not denying it. He's just, he honestly does not remember.
The other thing that I thought was interesting about it was the fact that Bridget has played a minor role in it in terms of dealing with his emotions and things, but at the same time, she's dealing with this whole terrible story. I mean, it's so interesting that brother and sister, one's in a great storyline and the other one's in a terrible storyline. And it's just
terrible. Doesn't even begin to say it.
But I just thought of something, and I know we didn't talk about this, so I'm not sure. Was it just me, or did I hear Leslie Kay say something about a romantic interest possibly coming her way on the red carpet?
She did.
And what was that? I don't remember.
That's all I heard, because we were chatting and everything at the same time. That's all I heard too. So I'm not sure.
Well, that could be good. I mean, it's just too bad that it's not Storm. I mean, it better be Storm. But if it's not. Maybe Jack from Young and the Restless will go over there and visit his sister and fall in love and take Felicia back to Young and the Restless.
Can I just say something about Bold and Beautiful real quick before we move on?
Okay.
Okay. This Constantine story. I am so tired of the way he stares at Phoebe like he's a pervert. And she's always like, I can't handle it anymore. If he's on my screen, it's fast forwarded. And I know that's irresponsible on my part. As a member of this podcast, I can't take it. I can't take it. Hopefully he's the next murder victim.
Well, and he's supposedly going to be lasting the entire summer, isn't he?
Oh, see, I'm out. Can't do it. Can't do it. Can't take those doomy eyes.
Well, and I'm also a little bit upset over the fact that now all of a sudden Brooke is going back to work for Nick, and it's going to be Brooke's bedroom, and it's the worst way to rehash that story. There's so many other ways that you could do things, and they have to do that.
Mm-hmm. I know it. So I'm just glad that I'm enjoying one storyline on that soap. Because it's been a while since the Betty White stuff. Time I've enjoyed something on that soap.
Well, speaking
And how cute was she on the Emmys? I'm sorry, she was adorable.
How cute was?
Betty White. I thought she was adorable.
Yes. And how cute was it that Reva has set up Lizzie on Guiding Light this last week?
Set her up for what, though? Mike, do you know?
I have no idea. You know, I kind of see predictability in a lot of stuff, but I can't figure out where this one's going. I don't know why Jonathan would want her to think that she lost a few days, and now, you know, they both have a tattoo. They both have a tattoo.
You need
and
to
they
talk,
both,
Luke.
and they both, and, you know, she's waking up, she's missing 2 days, and it just doesn't make any sense. I have no idea where it's going.
Do you think they're real tattoos? That would be my first question.
No, they're wash off. She said it was a wash off tattoo. She told who did
but
she?
But was she
into?
Joking about that or not? Because I thought she was sort of like joking about that.
Jeffrey. No, I don't think it. I just assumed she was telling the truth.
Do you think that Alan also suspects something's up more than...
Yes. You think?
Well,
maybe?
I know he does in that he was in the room, but I mean, do you think that Reva was able to throw him off the scent after explaining everything away in the room?
No.
No.
He didn't. She didn't throw Jeffrey off, and he's dumb. He came up right... I'm sorry, Jeffrey fans. He came up right to her, so why'd you kidnap Lizzie? And she was completely taken aback that she didn't fool him, because Reva of old could fool anybody, but she didn't fool us, she didn't fool Alan, she fooled Jeffrey. So.
And there was no real mention of Lizzie being in any type of pain, like if she, there was no indication of, like, for instance, if they had to do, like, some sort of, like, blood marrow transfusion or something like that, or, I mean, whatever it
but
might be.
But she had, okay, if they do that, Mike, didn't she have leukemia? when yes, Hayden Panettiere played her. Yep. Yeah, it would be it would be unviable. So.
Well, but okay, but what I was meaning is, if Sarah was in that case, wouldn't she need to be possibly getting those from her mother? And that's why Reva might be taking her. I don't know.
That's why I'm saying it wouldn't be viable. Anything that Lizzie donated would not be viable because she had cancer.
Oh.
It would not be. Yeah. So it'd be a stupid storyline.
Because when she
Lizzie
had
leukemia
it,
was a really
didn't
story.
She did she have a transplant?
Who, Lizzie? Yes, from Edmund. From Edmund, remember?
If I were Lizzie, I'd be going in and into the shower and checking my body for like incisions.
Right.
Well, I mean, well, all of a sudden she's missing a kidney.
Exactly.
Hi, I'm like John Black.
Yeah.
No, I just don't get it. I don't get it. And then Billy finding that Father's Day card to Jonathan.
Well, I think Reva's world is sort of, in terms of Jonathan, her secret's about to get out. And her world's sort of closing in on her, and it'll be interesting to see what Reva mm-hmm. does. Speaking of fast-forwarding through things, mm-hmm. I'm really, really, really getting sick of this Josh as a minister thing. It's just driving
what's that
me
all
nuts.
About?
I mean,
it makes no sense either.
I can understand where he would might want to be that type of a character, but I find it very hard to believe, and no disrespect to anyone who has religious convictions, but I find it very hard to believe that a large percentage of the soap-viewing population would be interested in watching what is a very, like, intimate relationship with usually maybe one a person and God, like, going down that point, thing, because... I can see it as being something that could be emotional, but I can't see this as something that makes you want to tune in every single day. And then to throw Cassie into the mix just makes it more worse. Even worse, I should say. And I don't know. It's driving me nuts.
That's actually a really interesting take that you have, that they're kind of invading a personal space with people. I don't know. If Josh actually does become a minister, does that mean he's going to be a preachy guy hanging out with the Reverend all the time?
What do you mean going to be a preachy guy?
Well,
he's
but,
always been a preachy guy.
But now he'll have like the cloth and the pulpit to do it, and he'll be like, right. I mean, it's just...
Are you ready for a differing opinion?
Okay, well, okay. This would be my only question. Has anyone ever seen a viable minister as a character in daytime that did not end up abandoning that role?
Joey Buchanan.
Who?
Joey Buchanan on One Life to Live.
I thought he abandoned it. Didn't he end up going to work for his mom's paper?
No. He's in England with rest of the Mrs. Buchanans.
And that's my
practicing.
Point of viable.
Right.
But
I mean, he was. But still, he was written off the screen. They're not using him on screen as a viable character.
Right. He's not a full time.
They're not using any Buchanans on screen.
No, but what I'm saying is, you do not. I can't think of. I mean, ministers either pop in and out. You never see them. Basically, you have that one guy who shows up on General Hospital once in a while. You might have a priest or something show up on Days of Our Lives for a wedding or something. Mm-hmm. But they tried it on Sunset Beach, and it did not work very well. And then that one, he ended up like falling for some woman, and it was sinning. It seems to me that you cannot seem to have a pastor or a minister or a priest on daytime television without them either committing adultery or majorly sinning and all this other stuff, which is not a true interpretation of what that experience is supposed to be. So to me, they do not count as viable characters. And I don't know. That's just my thought. But what are your thoughts?
My thoughts? As a middle American woman who is watching soaps and knowing the people in my real life who watch soaps, they are all saying it's about time. A lot of people do have religion in their lives, and to see it portrayed on our soaps, whether it was viable in the past or not, it is still part of a lot of people's lives, and it is still a real story. Now, what bothers me about it is this. Josh wanting to be a minister. I kind of can see that, knowing Josh.
Oh, I can too.
But, I mean, how does he preach about adultery? How does he preach about keeping it in the family? Mm-hmm. How does he preach about it? I mean, he's sleeping with his ex-wife's sister while he was still married.
I honestly think that they're setting this up to be more about Cassie. Because
then he knows. Then he can preach about keeping it in the family.
Well,
literally.
Because to me, it's like, I mean, they've already started setting it up. This is not going to be a story about Josh. This is going to be about
about
Cassie's conflict with the fact that she doesn't want to be a minister's wife. And once again, in my opinion, it's not a viable storytelling of Josh. It's about her. Something else.
And every story about Cassie's just a winner, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Right, and all she's trying to do is just delay the wedding, right?
Well,
isn't that what she's trying to do?
Well, she told Josh this week, I don't know if I ever want to be spiritually where you are.
Right.
Because have you ever met somebody that's gone through a spiritual revolution, how passionate they get about it, how they can't read enough, how they can't quote enough, how they can't tell everybody else about it enough? So I find that very real to life.
Yeah.
But Cassie's reaction is just, it's falling flat for me. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, I don't care, go on. Anything with Cassie's like that, though. So,
well,
they're just sending her up to go back to Jeffrey. That's all they're doing.
I don't know. Maybe it was the fact that, I mean, my childhood, it was one of those things where my parents were very much into religion and things, and maybe this is way too personal a thing, but my interaction with people who are spiritual or having a spiritual walk with things, if you're working with someone who's very religious and is ministering to people who are in need of ministering, usually, if you're married to someone, that has to be a two-person decision.
Absolutely right.
It has to be something where both people are on board and both people feel that passion. Because if you have the one person that isn't, then that's going to cause a whole lot of conflict. And I realize that that
could
be where they're heading with this. But I still maintain that Josh, as a minister, in the long run, is not going to provide a viable character in the long run. But anyways.
Who knows if Guidelight's going to be on in a while. So
that's true. But speaking of being on, Aaron returned to As Will Turns this last week, just in time for Dusty and Allison to sleep together in what could possibly be
ABC.
One of the nastiest sex scenes on
ABCDEFG.
As the World Turns since I've started watching.
On any soap. In any soap. That was nasty.
Okay.
Mike. You're the As the World Turns person.
I gotta get one thing in here though. He has a problem. He has a problem with He has a problem with one sister being a hooker, but he has no problem with the other one being a porn star.
Come on, who wouldn't want to sleep with a porn star?
Me, hands up right here. Yuck! All those nasty diseases. No, I don't think so. So. As I was saying before, Luke could not hold his pants.
I really... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Hold my what?
No. Hold your pants there, Luke. Mike, as the...
Yes.
As the World Turns person?
Yeah.
What did you think about Nasty Dusty Allison 6?
I just thought
it
was kind
of
funny
because
when I was watching, it just seemed to me that it was the same scene setup that Aaron and Allison had. Where they were lying next to each other, and they just all of a sudden didn't realize that they were kissing each other, and they started to have. Do you know what I mean? That's like, geez, that's what happened.
I don't remember
them
being covered in blood, though.
Yeah.
That's what a turn
on
that is.
I thought he was going to get her in the shower.
Ew.
I thought she was going to get her in the shower.
The blood thing. Ooh, blood makes me horny. Let's go. She's crazy.
Well, he is a monster. I mean, that might be a
really
factor in it. It might be a fetish for him.
He's
I don't know how he went from, like, a brotherly figure to all of a sudden wanting to have sex with her.
Can we say reverse
gross.
Stockholm syndrome?
He's gross.
No, I think it was just because Aaron was coming back, and now there has to be some conflict.
Well, and what do you think of Aaron's return? I'll tell you what, having Aaron back makes me so want to have the last Allison back. Oh, God, do I miss that Allison. She was so great.
I like this one, though. She's growing on me.
Are you serious?
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Please explain this to me, because I'm trying to be generous, and I haven't said much about her, but and that, for me, is being generous, because she could be, like, on my Meg list, or my Annie list, or my New Greenie
list.
But please explain to me what you're finding that to grow on.
I don't know. Now that she's off the drugs and stuff, and she's starting to connect to be more what... It's hard. Every time they bring somebody back... They never really connect them to what they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like Allison really isn't Allison. She's just somebody else. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because they've done it with Meg. You'd never know Meg was
Let's not get on
years
Meg
ago.
Again. Ugh.
No, I'm just saying you would know she was on years ago. because they never connect to that person that she used to be. And she was not a nice person. Her and Lily hated each other. Mm-hmm. It would be really cool if they connected Lily and Meg with their old rivalry. I mean, they did at first, but now they're friends. And it just seems like everybody that was on years ago, like Dusty has no connection to his past whatsoever.
Oh, don't get me started.
As a Stenbeck. So he might as well be some other guy. Paul has very little connection to his past. Sometimes he does. Meg has no connection to her past, except that she's related to Holden and Emma Snyder.
Carly's so, back and yet has yet to have a scene with Lily.
Yeah,
I thought
they
had a scene. They're going to go into business together.
Yeah, Lily's back in her business.
Maybe I missed that. Must have been a day I wasn't watching.
It's going to be good. I really like Carly and Lily. So, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I do too. But I guess my point is that this Allison has little connection to the other Allison. And I'm kind of hoping that when Aaron comes back, they kind of plug that together. And now that they've dropped the porn and the drug thing, I am starting to warm up to her a little bit more because I didn't like that side of the story anymore.
Now,
yes, I agree.
Do we have any idea when Rosanna's supposed to return?
Pretty soon. Sometime in July.
I thought it was July, wasn't it?
Yes,
like early
soon.
July or late July?
I think it's mid.
I have not seen an actual date on that.
I think they said sometime mid-July.
Well, when she returns, I'm going to be shouting, "Oh, all hail the return of Rosanna Cabot."
Can I ask you guys' opinion on something
again,
real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. We were talking in the ABC podcast, Mike, about the role of mothers on soaps and how sometimes on ABC the father always has the last word, and that's my child, and they're always getting custody and stuff. Okay, with this whole Parker thing, and I am all for slapping Parker in the next week because he's very, very disrespectful to his parents. Yeah. But Jack telling Carly what he was going to do with a person who is not his son?
Right.
How did you... I'm going to file for guardianship where you have no say in his life. I'm going, wait a minute, back off, buddy.
That would
now,
never
why
work.
Did you feel...
Why or what?
You know,
I just want to know Mike's thoughts on it.
My thought on Jack. I love it when they fight because they just are really good when they fight together. But I have to say, I like Jack, but I really really like Carly. So
it's hard, isn't it?
It's okay, almost like Carly can do no wrong.
Even when she is wrong, she can do no wrong.
She is wrong.
Luke. Carly,
but
is
the bottom
his
line is that Jack has no say that he's going to take Parker off to boot camp without Carly consenting to it.
Okay, but let me play devil's advocate for a moment because, I mean, she was gone for almost 6 months. I mean, and during that time, she was considered to be a criminal from the law.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Jack had custody of the children and was raising them, which does
no,
give...
he didn't.
Who had custody?
It was just... it wasn't a formal thing. Legally, Carly is Parker's only parent. That's it.
Right.
He has no legal claim on him because he offered
to
adopt Parker, and Parker said no.
Well, and I realize that, but what I'm saying from the standpoint of if it came down to a court decision, if you take and
the charges were dropped.
But if you go before a judge and you have and they say, okay, this woman left for 6 months and her son was known with her son. I have been in this child's life for umpteen years. He lived with me while she was gone, and I have treated him always as my son. That's going to hold a lot of weight with a judge.
Not in real life.
Yeah,
in soap's world, it would.
In soap's world, yes. Go ahead, Mike.
In real life, though, the fact that she's a biological mother, not all biological parents are the better of the two.
Absolutely.
But courts seem to side
they do.
With not separating a parent and a child.
Unless she's
putting him
in danger or whatever, blood usually wins.
And if she got exonerated for all her crimes... And if you have a good lawyer, then a good lawyer is going to say, you can't bring that up because it's no longer an issue.
Well,
the issue now is that she's back now. Mm-hmm. She is going to be in the child's life now. Whatever she did before, was dropped by the court. So, you know, you can't use it. That's how I would think.
Thanks, Mike. I just wanted to know what you thought.
Speaking of legal troubles, what do you think Amber, Kevin, and Daniel are going to be in when Plum...
Yeah, Scooby-Doo, right? I think
Janet
something
over,
to
okay.
do with it, don't you?
I think Janet killed him.
Pink girl's in on
I
it.
I do,
yeah.
too, because I know she's coming back.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this for an extended run or a limited run?
No,
let me
limited.
Take a look.
I have it as limited in my book,
well,
in my notes.
So here's my question, and this is something that I post in the forum. Basically, what's happening is he's dead. They're going to end up having to hide the body because now that they moved the body, they could be considered criminals. But yet he has all this money in his room, more than likely which he stole from Daniel, but no one knows where he got the money. Does this all of a sudden mean that they're going to just basically dispose of the body, split up the money, Kevin's going to use it to hunt down Jana,
that's how
Daniel's going to use it to pay off his bills, and Amber's going to use it to go shopping?
Still don't care.
However, the thing I thought was as soon as they were looking at the money, my first thought was that they were going to take it. And my second thought was that if they take it, then somebody's setting them up to take the money, which could be Kane or
I hadn't thought of that. Jana. That'd be a good twist.
Because Jana tried to set Kevin up before to make him look guilty of something. So if she killed this guy and then left all this cash, mm-hmm. knowing that he would be tempted by it, then he's still going to be a thief or something to that effect.
Yeah.
Well,
I guess.
The other interesting dynamic that was on YNR this last week was the fact that all of a sudden now Sharon and Phyllis are teaming up to take down Nikki. And it actually
Yay!
Provided some of the more interesting scenes on the show this last week.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think, Lisa?
Yeah, I kind of... Oh, sorry,
Go
Lisa.
Ahead. No, I want to hear Mike. I want to hear Mike. I'd rather much rather hear Mike.
I kind of thought it was funny that she's telling Jack really quietly, yeah, she can stay. I don't have a problem with it. Obviously, she can't go anywhere. And then the second Phyllis started talking, she's like, do you ever shut up? I thought it was... It just caught me off guard, and it just made me laugh. And Jack was listening to the whole thing, and she didn't know it, but...
I love it.
I thought that was funny.
Well, I have always wanted Sharon and Phyllis to be friends in a frenemy mm-hmm. kind of way, a true frenemy kind of way.
So you think this is going to...
Telling each other absolute truth. I hope so.
Replace Drew and Phyllis?
Well, they'll have to, because Drew and... Well, now, Drew and Sharon, I really like together too, but I just enjoy the whole that's the only storyline I even am remotely interested in on Young and the Restless.
Now,
so.
I was reading something in our forums because someone was posting on the YNR board, and they were saying how Abby's return has not been what Brad expected it to be, and apparently she is mad at Brad.
Yes.
And I once again, it must have been an episode I missed. What happened?
It was beautiful. She told him flat out, "I hate you." And I hate you too. Told Victoria that same thing. It was gorgeous. I love that little robot now.
I wrote on the message board that here we go. We got another angry kid. I know that it was probably realistic, but this girl had the angriest look on her face.
Oh, the girl's a great actress.
Here we go. How many angry kids do we have?
Oh, come on. You have to have them. And when they're as endearing as she's been for all these years, it's nice to see her shake
things up. Well, it's Brad. I want anybody hating on Brad. That's fine. I hate that little smug jerk.
So then why was she mad at Victoria? Because they're getting a divorce?
No, just Victoria. Oh, is that right? Because I missed that.
Yes, because they was explaining. Brad was explaining that they were going to divorce. So that's...
Well,
I don't know why
really
she would hate him
Victoria.
For that. Maybe he hates her. She hates him because she has to stay with Brad now and not with her mother.
Well, and that's the thing is realistically, why is she even back? Because it's not like they're going to just turn a storyline into him versus her with her being such a young child.
Huh?
Well, I mean, if this was a teenager like Colleen, I can see this type of thing where it'd be like Brad versus Colleen, which we've been having. But I don't see a storyline where it's all about this little girl doing things to get back at her dad. I mean, there's only so much power that
Have
young
you
of
met
a child...
Michael Corinthos on General Hospital?
But there's a difference between that and this girl, in my opinion, at least from the standpoint that this girl hasn't been around much, but Michael's been around and overused in tons of storylines.
Well, maybe that's where they're going. Maybe they're going to start using her. That's the only thing I think of.
Now, the one last thing. what did you all think? Someone please clarify me for this, for a final, for finality, what is going on with the character of Adrian Corbell on Young and the Restless?
I have no idea.
Woeful misuse. That's what's going on.
But in terms of the contract, because rumors have been going around that he's fired, and supposedly it's quoted in the Megs, but anybody I've talked to cannot seem to find what Meg it's quoted in.
And I got the new Soap Opera Digest. Do you have it, Mike?
Yes, I do.
I don't see anything about it, Luke. I didn't see anything last week or the week before.
I flipped
through it. I think that's just a stupid... Oh, I did... Wait. I did go to another board, a pretty reliable source, saying it's a rumor. It's a rumor by the Kevin Fanatics and JT Fanatics at Young and the Restless, that it is a rumor. I just remembered that. So, yes, that's...
Well, they seem to have dropped that whole story, too, where JT was following them around, like, stalking them.
Well,
and
Victoria got
pregnant
in real life.
Yeah, and Colleen's not... But we're Colleen and Adrian, and... I mean, we
haven't
seen
them. The only
good
couple on that soap.
Exactly. So. Well, we're the only good triangle on this podcast, and that's coming to an end. So, do either of you have a...
No, it's not. We got to talk about Brian Gaskell going all crazy on the Procter & Gamble board.
Okay, we got 2 minutes. Go.
Okay. Some people on the Procter & Gamble board have been going crazy with the Brian Gaskell hate, who plays Dylan on Guiding Light. Well, he writes them back. He posts in their forum... And he says, yes, this is really me. I just wanted to pop in quick and say a little hello and to say no hard feelings. This is your place on the net, and you can come and have your private water cooler talk about your show. Although sometimes it's hard to believe you really do love this show. And you know what? Recasts have always kind of bothered me in general, too. But at the end of the day, you got to go to work and bring home the bacon, so I'm just doing my job. Hopefully those of you who haven't openly received me as new Dylan will eventually warm up to me a little. Then again, maybe not, and that's okay too. Sorry I intruded on your private place for a moment. I just wanted to say no hard feelings. God bless you. Everyone's entitled to an opinion, and truth is I shouldn't even be reading this stuff. I guess I have too much time on my hands. Maybe you can relate. Little stab there. Love you all. Brian Gaskell.
So in other words, he's a bit pissed.
Well, I think he was pretty good about it. I think it was pretty brave of him to even post on that board.
They haven't really...
That's scary town.
Yeah, sorry. Even though we discussed this last podcast, I still think that he's just not being used right. And I think that also skews the whole thing of whether you like him or not.
Okay.
Because he's just not being used the way Dylan would be. He has no interaction with a lot of people. He just kind of pops in, has a couple of scenes, and then he's gone.
Well, in response to last week's episode when I was asking you who it was that was showed up with Hawk, Jammy Love writes, Luke, when you were talking about the old guy and the boy coming back when Reva had cancer, wasn't it Rusty and Hawk, not
one
Dylan
time,
and Hawk?
Yes. One time it was. And I thought about that after. I thought, okay, did we get that mixed up? One time it was Rusty.
Okay.
And a couple times it was Dylan.
I remember seeing Dylan, though. They were in a hotel room.
It just depended on which one it was.
Well, let's face it, 50% of this show was done in hotel rooms. So, I mean,
it was
all real hotel room. It wasn't the Beacon.
But yeah, the latest one that she's talking about is Rusty, and we did leave that out. So, thank you, Jammy Fan or whoever.
Jammy
that
Love.
Was Jammy Love.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do either of you have a final thought?
Mike?
My final thought on this week?
Uh-huh.
It's going to be an interesting summer. I say there seem to be some team-ups going on and people popping in.
On which soaps?
And, on As the World Turns, we have people big returns, and they're going to shake some things up. On Guiding Light, we have who knows what's going on with Reva and Lizzie. Of course, if Jonathan does come back, that will be interesting. And we have interesting shifts in allegiances on The Young and the Restless. So I think things have the potential to kind of be good if it's written right.
Lisa?
Peter Bergman was robbed of his Emmy. That's all I got
to
say.
And I was going to say congrats to Christian LeBlanc. So on that note, thank you.
Oh, you guys have two little sentences and I just rambled on.
We would appreciate if you send your emails. Send us the topics that you want us to discuss on CBS, on the CBS episode, Unplugged episodes at DC at TV Fan Online. Drop by the forums, tvfanonline.com/forums. Also, if you haven't yet voted for us on Podcast Alley, please go there and vote for us. Type in Daytime Confidential, pop right up. Vote for us, and also Primetime Pulse and Movie Junkie. If you could, we would greatly appreciate it. Anything else?
Bye.
So long, folks.
Bye.